Yeah, we'll be in touch. Hello and welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I've just done a gig with the fabulous Denise Scott.
Oh, get out, Dave. Fabulous.
You're very funny, I tell you what.
Was I?
And the crowd were there for you.
Yes, they were there for me, but I didn't... I must admit, I was a little bit... a little bit ambivalent about myself.
Oh, yeah.
But the crowd were great.
They loved you. This is funny, isn't it? Sometimes you can feel a bit average about a gig, but then they'll come up to you and go, hey, that was amazing, you were fantastic.
Yes, well, that was amazing that that gentleman, John, came up to me before the show, and he knew my dad, Russ, and Russ died 34 years ago. So to have someone come up, oh, this was great, and he said, I know where you get your comedy from. It's from your father. Because my dad used to drink at the West Heidelberg footy club rooms.
Wasn't he the president?
He was the president, the secretary, the vice president.
He
was a boundary umpire. He loved West Heidelberg footy club. But then he went off. He used to, apparently when the beer ran out at West Heidelberg, he'd drive, you know, as you used to in those days.
Yeah.
To the Greensboro footy rooms where this person, John, was, and he said, you know, my dad used to tell jokes non-stop for half an hour, and he said, that's where you get it from, and he said, and let me tell you, he never ever told the same joke twice. I thought, well, Jesus, I don't get that from my dad. I tell the same tired old stories.
Yeah, but that's what comedians do.
Well, yes, we do.
And he was probably telling old jokes. I don't think he was creating them.
No, he studied them from a book, I imagine.
Oh, really? Your dad's quite intriguing. I remember he was a small goods salesman,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he delivered small goods, had the small goods van, combi van covered in sausages and frankfurts.
I've seen that photo, But he also had a clown suit, didn't he?
He had a clown suit.
I love that. Clown suit.
He had his own clown suit, and he didn't do any clowning. Wasn't a clown, he'd just get pissed and disappear into, you know, the bedroom and come out dressed as a clown in horrific makeup. Like, I don't know where he got the makeup from.
Killer.
Like, what's the movie that's on now?
It.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And in fact, because we had a nursing home across the road from where I live.
Where your mum worked.
Dad would get pissed, you know, and put on the clown suit and think it'd be good to go and cheer up the old people. And I was with him once where this poor old lady, he's leaning over her, and he used to wear his glasses as well over this horrific clown face makeup. And he was leaning over this old lady in the nursing home, and she woke up, and it was the biggest most blood-curdling scream I've ever heard. And she thought she was dead.
Yeah.
And
gone to hell.
Yeah. And that was my father in his clown suit was hell.
Satan. He was Satan. Your dad was Satan.
Yeah.
I remember that story you told that. So your mum worked at the nursing across the road, the nursing home, and occasionally wouldn't she get your dad to come over in his white coat?
Yeah. Well, see, because back in the day, mum wasn't even a fully qualified nurse. She was a nurse's aide.
Yeah.
But she'd do night shift on her own because there was only like 45 patients, you know. So back in the day, you'd have one nurse, 45 patients. And but if there was any drama, she would call out. I suppose she would ring on the phone, I don't know, but literally across the road.
Yeah.
So she'd call out to my dad to come over, and he would put on his small goods delivery coat because it had little blood stains and everything because he'd been delivering meat.
Yeah, there were white coats back in those days.
Yeah, and she'd call him Dr. Scott and he'd pretend to be a doctor. These were the days, I tell you. He'd pretend to be a doctor.
Fantastic.
Hey, hang on. Oh, yeah, we're going along the way around.
Yeah, we're going, yeah.
But you know where you're going, though, don't you?
I know where you live.
Yeah, but you're filling in time.
Well,
taking a longer route because it was...
We were doing a gig in Fairfield and you live in Thornbury.
Yeah, so it'd be a quick conversation.
We'll go along Bell Street.
Oh, I'd love to go along Bell Street.
Oh, it's a lovely ride.
Anyway, so my dad, would pretend to be a doctor and help mum get patients back into bed and everything. And
oh,
You know, these medical qualifications, very overrated, Dave. You know, it's just...
I love that, the white coat.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you and so your dad was... He died before you started comedy, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He died when he was 59.
Oh, my God.
Heart attack.
So young.
Heart attack. And, you know, his mum, my nana...
Yeah.
...died at 58, heart attack, and my other nana, 58. So,
oh, my God. And you...
God, I was fucking relieved when I got to my 60s, I tell you.
I'll say.
Jeez.
You'd be looking at the clock. Do you reckon he would have been impressed by your comedy career?
He would have... This is the thing. He would have loved it because he was one of those sort of chaps who was just proud and you know, often a bit pissed.
Yeah.
You know, but he was a happy drunk. And I reckon if he'd lived, Mum would have coped better with it.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't have Dad around and she always found my comedy really difficult. It wasn't her thing. And whereas Dad would have just, you know, cried with pride.
Yeah, and he would have enjoyed it. If he's into a bit of amateur clowning.
And he wouldn't have been so bothered.
And he'd say to you, what was your mum's name?
Marg.
Come on, Marg. Yeah. She's having a go.
Yeah, and he would have just dominated proceedings anyway. He used to, before I did comedy, because I was doing... in inverted commas, acting in community theatre or whatever, theatre restaurant stuff. And my dad would come and Mum would beg him not to tell anyone, you know, that he was my father.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know...
It's embarrassing.
If the show was shit, she didn't want anyone to know.
Yeah.
And, Dad would tell everyone and... I'd come off stage and everyone would know everything about me.
Oh, yeah, one of those dads. Yeah. Oh, my dad's still like that. Like, oh, we met your dad. We sat next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother-in-law, Betty, who you've met.
Yes.
Betty. Yeah. I remember coming to see your show with Judith Lucy in that huge theatre. Which theatre was that?
The State Theatre?
Two or three years ago.
Oh, God, Dave,
was
that's
that the Regent?
Nothing.
What was that?
No, where were we? I'm sounding very casual.
The Princess. Like,
the Princess, yes.
And we came in a little bit late, and here comes Dave with Betty, his mother-in-law.
Did I say that?
Yeah, from stage. Because I was sitting quite close to the front. Yeah, no, Betty is a big fan of you and Juicy Lucy, as she calls Judith.
Well, of course, there's the other Juicy Lucy now.
Oh, who's that?
It's Sally Ann Upton.
Oh.
That's her character name in Wentworth.
Is it really?
Yeah, Juicy Lucy.
I didn't know she's got a role in Wentworth.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, she's been waiting for that forever?
She's up to, like, I think a third series
now. Oh, fantastic.
She loves it.
Yeah. Well, actors love to work.
Oh.
Love to work.
Well, you know, I've done some acting work.
Yeah. I know.
But, oh, gee.
I've heard.
Gee.
And your dad with his clowning. I remember that great story. He played Santa one time, didn't he?
Oh, he often played Santa.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But he forgot to get you a present.
Yes, that's right.
Story,
oh,
yeah.
You remember stories very well.
I remember.
I'd forgotten that.
That was so sad, that story, but it's such a lovely thing.
Yeah, because he was Santa at the. Would have been. He used to do it for the RSL and the footy club, and it was on the back of a truck. And it was just me. My sister wasn't there. Mum wasn't there. Dad, it's like we went to the picnic together and then Dad had to, you know, wink, wink, go and do something.
Were you aware that he was doing Santa or?
No, but, you know, like I wasn't an idiot. When he arrived on the back of the truck, I thought, oh God, that's Dad. And then it was obviously one of those situations where every parent had to bring a present for their kid.
Yeah, and then they
put it
in the sack. Yeah.
Oh, and so we get to the end of the sack, and there's little me.
Little Denise. How old were you being?
No present from Santa.
Oh.
Because Dad had forgotten. You know, he had his showbiz things to think about.
Yes.
And then, that's right, the end of the story was that on the way home, we stopped at a newsagent's and Dad just had to go and get something.
Get a paper, some cigarettes.
Yeah, and then he got back in the car and he said, oh, look, I found a present, the present from Santa. And it was in a little necklace that he got at the newsagent's.
What a great dad.
Yeah.
What an awesome dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear up again.
Oh,
no,
Dave.
I won't. It's okay.
Dave,
I played Santa once.
Emotional.
I've been up early. That's
yes,
why I've been.
You've been doing your breakfast radio.
God. I used to do breakfast radio with you back in the day.
All right. You sound really. Yeah, that was not a. That wasn't the best experience, was it?
We did Vega together, which
we
is
did.
Now Smooth FM. I think it's now number one, that station, in Melbourne and Sydney.
Remember when our ratings.
Yeah.
Did they go below zero?
Yeah, they were an asterisk. Rated an asterisk.
I remember when they were like two. What are ratings normally?
Say like a hit station would be 10. You know, Fox would be 10.
Yeah.
Nova would be 9 or 10. Sometimes, you know, Triple M 7 or 8.
And of course, your commercial, what is 3AW? 3AW
is about 18.
And we were like 2.
We were 2.
I remember thinking, oh, well, you can't get worse. And then, of course, you can. You can be 1, and then you can go into the asterisks.
Which I don't think had ever happened before.
Oh, we were magic, Dave.
It was me, you, and Sean McAuliffe. And
yes.
Bev.
Well, Bev was Bev O'Connor.
O'Connor, who's at the ABC now. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, but I did, what, 2 years with you? Yeah.
No.
I reckon two.
No.
Cause then I did...
Oh, yeah, a year and a half, because I did 2 years all up.
Oh, okay, so I came in halfway, didn't I?
Yeah, you came in to rescue it.
Didn't work.
You were brought in.
It
was
like,
there was Sean and me and Bev, and then Bev had to go read the news.
Yeah.
And you were brought in.
Yeah, it's the common touch, the working class approach, but it didn't work, so... And then I did it with Dicko and Chrissy, that's right. Oh, Chrissy Swan and Dicko,
yeah.
It was a whole other kettle of fish because Dicko would be drinking and then not drinking. And so when he'd drink, he'd be really funny. He'd say stuff like, ADD, my ass. And the phones would light up.
And then
he'd stop drinking. And then the producer would go, we've got to have a bottle of whiskey behind some glass and smash it and give it to him. Get him on the grog again.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I've been getting up early to do ABC in Melbourne. Red Simon's slot, he's had a break. So... because he fell over and hit his head. But I've only done 2 weeks and it's killed me getting up at 4:30.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I'm very, very lazy these days.
Oh, the mornings are hard. Yeah.
But you've still got a lot of interest in life.
Oh, yeah.
You really have. I haven't. I just want to... You know how I talk...
You just lie on the bed and knit.
I do knit. I have... And I do now. I have included a glass of wine... That's my street,
I'd
by
say,
the way.
We'll go past your street. We'll go up.
Yeah.
We'll go up around.
Oh, I'm loving it. I love this hood.
Tour of Northcote, Thornbury.
So I do. I've got... It started with my arthritis, but... You know, and I do. I joke about it, but I do spend a lot of time just lying on my bed. And
I do. I used to lie on bed a bit. My son calls it my office. My dad's in his office. And the little
one... it's good for your back.
Yeah, my little one will come and hug me. I'll just be lying on the bed reading or looking at stuff on my phone. Or sometimes typing on my computer.
Yeah, well, Bonnie, our daughter, who's like
the visual 31, artist.
Yeah, the visual artist, she lives in New York, and every time she FaceTimes me, I sort of try and sit up and look lively and look as though I'm not just lying on the bed again doing nothing. And I look like shit. And you know, I've got no bra on. I mean, I'm dressed, but I've got no bra. And then she said to me the other day, what have you been doing? I went, oh, writing. You know, and she went, so in other words, you've been doing nothing again. And I went, oh, how dare you? But it was true.
Yeah, but you have a pretty full-on, if you're working at night.
Yeah, but I'm not often working at night.
Yeah, but you just finished a whole tour with Judas,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, yeah, and that was...
That's pretty intense, isn't it?
That was intense.
I mean, how long does the show go for?
Especially with someone like Judith Lucy.
Judith Lucy.
She's a pain in the ass, that girl. Oh, she's so full of herself.
But you must get on well with her, though.
I do. She's great. When we had a great time travelling together, but she's very reclusive. When she tours.
Okay. So she doesn't want to go for lunch or anything?
Well, not much. She'll go out for a dinner occasionally.
Yeah.
But...
is she a swimmer? Like, wants to have a swim all the time?
What do you mean? Is that a euphemism for something?
No. I went away with...
swimming.
I did this podcast with Colin Lane. I was in Queensland with him and he wanted to go for a swim. And he said, Brian Nankervis is a massive, let's go for a swim. And so is Glenn Robbins, who I have been on tour with.
Ah, yes, I seem to recall that about those
guys.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They always want to go for a swim.
Oh, God, no. Judith and I like a slap-out meal and a lot of wine.
Yeah, does she stay in a room, basically?
Yeah, but then again, I do a lot as well. But
you're a big walker. Last time I went on tour with you a couple of years ago, you walked a lot around Byron Bay.
I did like walking, but my this arthritis is...
It's hurting.
Yeah.
What can you do for arthritis?
Well...
I've got some in my knee.
There's not a lot you can do.
No.
But... And I won't go into my routine.
No, you don't. But you did it tonight. It was very funny because there were women in the crowd who had arthritis too, and men, I'm sure. Well, I had my knee x-rayed when I was in my 30s, and the guy goes, oh, you got a bit of arthritis. I went, arthritis? He goes, oh, yeah, don't worry. Everyone has it.
Yeah, I've had it in my right ankle since I was about in my 30s.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, you learn to live with it.
And is it chronic pain though, or is it?
It can be.
Mm.
It can be, and that's that's probably. Oh, this will be of interest to the people.
I'm doing a U-turn.
Hello! Right in front of
the West Garth Cinema.
But when I was at Adelaide with Judith, and we were opening at Adelaide Fringe, our show, and it was a really intense day, and my left leg was really swollen up. It was like a tree trunk.
Oh.
And I couldn't fit it into my suit. Like, I had to really squeeze it in. And
was that the first time you'd done that show?
It was, we'd done it in Canberra.
Okay, yeah, right. Test it out.
Months before to test it out. But it's where you go to test your shows.
Capital city audiences, is all they say.
And so I had this really intense day, and I hadn't been able to get into my hotel room. I know it's a very first world problem, but my leg was excruciating, and I couldn't walk anywhere. Anyway, long story short, we finally got back to a hotel room. We'd been doing tech rehearsal.
Yeah.
And I had half an hour to, like, have a shower, get ready, put on my makeup.
Don't you hate that?
And my leg was so painful, and I'd had such a hell of a day, I knew I had to cry, you know, like full on cry. Mm. And I thought, well, I've only got 30 minutes. And I thought, fuck it, you'll cry for 10. Here's the deal. I'm talking about, you'll cry for 10 minutes, and then you'll stop, and then you'll spend 20. And so the power weep was born. You know, you have power naps.
Yeah, the power weep. I love it.
I know. Isn't it fantastic?
You should trademark that.
Yeah, I know. Before someone else does. Oh, don't you dare, Dave.
There'll be some guy putting a book out.
Yeah.
Dave O'Neill, Power Weep.
Yeah.
And you'll see me up on stage with those headphones like Madonna going, the Power Weep.
It was really good, though.
Oh, no, I can imagine.
It's wept and wept.
It's lethargic.
And then,
it's cathartic, not lethargic.
Well, with me, interesting you should use that word, lethargic. I think it was lethargic and cathartic.
But that show you did with Judith, I mean, I didn't see it this year, but I saw the one you did 2 or 3 years ago. There's such a big... You sold the most tickets in the Comedy Festival, didn't you?
Yeah,
that was more than Arch Barker or...
And this year, you know, the People's Choice Award, it sounds good, but it just means you sell the most tickets.
Yeah. Will Anderson normally wins it.
Well,
You won it.
We didn't. We came equal with Will. Which, how could that be? How could you sell exactly the same?
That's not.
So there's been a bit of skullduggery, and I reckon that actually Will pipped us at the post. They were still counting that day because there was still...
What?
Yeah. I think Will, but they couldn't bear to have Will win again.
Yeah, they wanted someone different, yeah.
So Will and Judith and I shared it.
Sure. Because there is a... For your comedy, what is the predominant audience? It's mixed?
It is
a lot of women over 50.
A lot of older women.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those older women will often bring family.
Yes.
Like it's an extended family outing.
They'll bring their daughters, they'll bring their husbands, they'll bring their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
women do the organising. This guy told me this who works for Facebook. He said you can see it on Facebook posts. Denise Scott's doing a gig, and then people put on there, hey, Junior, you want to come and see it? The blokes don't do that.
I know. Well, it'd be... I guess, you know, if you do see it, it's absolutely true that if you see a guy on your page going, "Hey, Brad, want to come?" You assume Brad's gay. Yeah, like, Brad and his friend are gay. You don't assume it's like some bloke from the footy club.
Yeah.
Getting a group together.
Judith, you're going. Remember we did that footy club? The guy was so adamant that you come and do the footy club with me, and he offered reasonable money, and I rang you up, and I said, look. And, of course, you were hesitant, because the footy club, we always think, is going to be young blokes. You know, and it was Watsonia, was. I think it was Watsonia, which is near where you grew up.
Or
McLeod. It was McLeod. It was somewhere.
Footy club, yeah.
In the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And the guy said, and everyone I spoke to on the phone was about 86 years old. Yeah. And they all had old, there was like Rod and Bert. And yes, and we're looking forward to Denise coming with you.
Yes.
And I thought, well, this will be fine. We'll go there and they'll all be in our age group.
Yeah.
We walked up the path and there was just two rows of guys in their 20s sitting on stools.
Oh, not even 20s, were they? They were like the under 18s.
But then down the front, all the old people were sitting.
Oh, there were hardly any.
Yeah, it was fun. But it was a good gig.
Yeah.
Oh, this is your street, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is.
You know, I always think of when I come to Thornbury, where I don't want to give away too much about where you live, but yeah, I think a lot of people know you live in Thornbury. I remember that routine you used to do with Annie Sprinkle.
Oh,
used to say, she used to say, I don't want to do routine. You can get an orgasm. You should be able to get an orgasm.
Just walking down the street.
And your punchline was, well, you obviously don't live in Thornbury.
Oh, yeah.
And that used to get a massive laugh.
Yeah, till I did it at the Comedy Festival gala.
Well, no one laughed.
No one laughed. Got cut.
What?
Got cut from the gala. Everybody does.
I've been cut from the gala. Yeah, I've been cut from the gala.
Hurts. Ouch.
I had to follow.
You know you've gone past my house.
No, I'm going to turn around, don't worry. Yeah. I had to follow that really good-looking guy who plays the guitar and tells jokes. They're like one-liners from America. Martini.
Begins with D. Darren.
I always do this on this podcast.
Domenico.
Yeah, Dimitri Martin. Dimitri Martin. So he comes out.
Dimitri.
He's good looking, he plays the guitar, and he's hilarious. And I had to follow him. Mm. Oh, no, I got cut, yeah. But anyway, the thing about your Thornbury joke, though, I don't know if you could do it now, because when you used to do it,
yes,
Thornbury was very daggy.
Yeah, because we've lived here 33 years, same house.
Yeah.
Same house.
But and it was a very working class Greek sort of suburb, wasn't it, Thornbury?
But you know, Dave, if you've got to hang on to your old jokes, you just sort of put them in the past.
Yeah.
You know, you put it in context.
I'm a fan of that. Don't worry about that at all.
But it's Hipsterville now.
Man, it's so many hipsters in Thornbury. And you've got that. Do you ever go to that place? They've got a place here where food trucks park permanently.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Thornbury.
Do you ever go there?
No, too young.
I went there once.
You know, I like some walls and a roof.
Yes.
You know, I do.
I know.
These outdoor situations.
Yeah, no, put a roof on it.
And, you know.
Even when I see bands, I prefer them with a roof. Even if it's a tent, I prefer a... Which reminds me of the last gig we did together, which was Port Fairy. Was it Port Fairy or... No, we did Queenscliff together.
Queenscliff, right. Music festival.
And I was racing to go on before you because I knew they would be...
You going to fill in time again?
No, I'm just going to wait for this car to get past.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the guy was going, well, we're going to have to bring Denise on before you. I'm like, no, I'll be there in a minute. But anyway, I got there too late and I had to follow you, but still.
Oh, that was a good gig, wasn't it?
It was good fun. Yeah, it was good fun. All right, we'll be back on The Debrief. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. And Homey. They're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address? And of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. go to www.homie.com.au. Okay, back to the program. We're back on the debrief with Denise Scott, and I've got some questions that I ask everyone, Denise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So what went well and why?
What do you mean, what went well?
What went well tonight at the gig?
Oh, gee.
You told a few new stories. Some of them
were
very funny.
Yeah.
No?
Went well.
Are you very hard on yourself with your stand-up?
No, I don't think abnormally hard.
No, just normal, kind of. I think I've driven past your house.
Yeah, you have. It's getting really worrying now.
John, your husband's going to ring up and say there's a black station
wagon. What went well
wagon.
Tonight?
What? I can answer it for you.
Oh, no, don't. Because then I'll go, what? You didn't like the other bit? It'll be like when John, my partner, tries to tell me, cheer me up.
Yeah, go, right.
No, that bit worked well.
John, your partner, though, is a very good audience member.
Yes, he is. But he draws attention to himself.
Yes, he does.
You know, I think that's unnecessary.
I remember doing a show at the Swiss Club in the Comedy Festival. And, I think, you were doing a show there too. Anyway, he was in the audience. And he was the best audience member.
Yes. No, he went to your show, didn't he?
Yeah, and I said, so where's your wife? I didn't know it was him. And he goes, she's downstairs having a schnitzel. And he got like a round of applause. He was cracking gags. But who's this guy? It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what went well tonight? It was a very enjoyable gig.
Yeah, they loved you.
But, I don't know. They liked the smoking.
The
stories
smoking
about
stuff.
My mum smoking on the ward in the hospital.
That was very funny. Well, what didn't go well?
Oh, do you have to ask that?
No, we don't have to.
Oh, well, I thought Rosie, who was, giving me stuff, good on her, was talking about using Rawley's ointment
for
arthritis, but I couldn't really do anything with it.
Well, sometimes people say stuff and you're like, oh, that's really funny, but I can't think of anything.
Oh, I had nothing. And I did feel rather poorly calling that man fuckface. Who beat me to my punchline.
Oh, did he?
And I went, good on you, fuckface. And I don't normally talk like that.
No, but that's funny to see you lash out like that.
Mm.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way of your performance?
No.
No, that's fine.
No.
You got stuck getting to the stage, actually.
I got what?
You got stuck. I introduced you and then
where are you meant to get on the stage?
Yeah, no, you were going the right way. You were going the right way.
Just, I'm oh, as a woman, a neighbour said the other day, oh, you're just like me, you've got your skinny little legs and big, she was obviously about to say gut, and,
jeez.
But my face fell, and her voice sort of petered out, but no, it's a very, it's probably dull of me to say, but it's a very lovely venue, that Grandview
Hotel. The Grandview Hotel, yeah, it's in Fairfield, lovely, and so how can we do better next time?
What is this? What do you mean? How can you do
I got
better?
These questions off the internet.
Oh,
they're
really?
Proper debrief.
What
we can't...
For a corporate dinner
yes,
or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
What could you do better to... Oh, no. I think... why is John's car on
What's
that
John,
angle?
Why is John Park like that?
We've
was
been
he drunk?
Past...
Was he drunk?
He's got a big festival coming up.
Oh,
he's in a crazy
festival mode. Does he still go and do Rainbow Serpents or?
Is that John?
That's a weird angle to park at. That's maybe he had to get in where there was no room for him.
That is his car.
Oh, he's stressed. Oh, he's stressed.
He's stressed. He doesn't even know he's parked on an angle when you're not meant to.
John is that kind of guy, though. I remember. You told me when you were younger that he said he was going out down to the shops and didn't come back for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Later.
Well, and he was quite possibly in his bathers when he went. In Thornbury, he used to wander off shopping in his bathers.
Really?
Well, he had a good body.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
He's a
good-looking
guy.
He wouldn't do that now.
No, no. And then one time he went off and then you saw him on the front of the paper leading a festival.
Oh, that's right. Do you remember my life better than me?
I'm going to write your third book for you.
He said he was going... Where did he say he was going? And then He appeared, yeah, on the front of the paper because he told me he wasn't going to do festivals, street performing,
yeah,
on that particular weekend.
No. And then he was leading the local circus down the...
Yeah.
Yeah, on the front of the local paper.
John, that's right, at the Arts Centre, I think.
Jeez. See, he was too scared to tell you.
Yes.
So he said he was just going down the shops.
He is quite terrified of me.
Well, I think I've done that. I've certainly done that. Said to Kieran, oh, I've just got to go and down the shops and done a gig.
Have you got to ask me other questions?
No, that's it. But you know what? We can. That's the end of the debrief. But we can play some music now. So we can play a song.
Okay.
Any song.
Oh.
Any song at all. Well, no, we don't play it now in the car, but it gets put on to the podcast.
Nice.
So any song at all.
Yeah. What do you want me to suggest one?
Yeah, go on.
No, I don't want to suggest. Well, why don't you play one of Geordie's?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Your son.
Geordie Lane. Yeah.
This guy was telling me in the coffee shop today that he went to Woodford and he met you and then he met Geordie and he goes, he didn't know you were connected. And he said, I saw Geordie talking to D. Scott like they're friends. And I'm like, how do they know each other? He had no idea.
Ah.
He said it freaked him out. He said.
Yeah, it would.
So Geordie Lane's your son. He's a popular singer-songwriter.
Yeah, and my daughter's Bonnie Lane. And because they get shits now because Geordie, apparently, I don't do this, but if you search Google, I don't know what he means.
Yeah.
He comes up as Denise Scott's son. I don't know. And it just gives him the shits. And then...
No, because you know what happens. If you just put in Geordie Lane in Google, it'll come up with suggested searches.
So you just go
like this. I'll show you. Google. All right. And then you put... Oh, come on. Bad reception here in Thornbury. That's not working.
But well, the other thing is that, you know, I never look at Wikipedia.
No.
But, well, so Bonnie, for whatever reason, my daughter who lives in New York, she's not mentioned.
Oh, she's not mentioned on your Wikipedia page.
They say I have two children.
But, yeah, okay,
but
that's interesting.
Geordie gets named and Bonnie doesn't, so she was upset about that. Geordie's upset about the fact he always gets called Denise Scott's son.
Well, hey, too bad.
Yeah. Get a grip, kids.
Geordie Lane, and now normally it should come up with suggestions for Geordie. And it all say Denise Scott's, you know, son.
Anyway, play one of his songs.
Yeah, which one?
I don't know. I can't remember the names of them. He's got
a big repertoire, hasn't he?
Yeah. Black Diamond's very popular.
Okay, well, we'll play that one.
And, his girlfriend Claire Reynolds, they
play together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do often play together.
Oh, well, he should be proud that his mum's a comedian. So.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be.
God damn it.
And now you're getting his song played on this podcast.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Gee.
If Geordie.
If he isn't nominated for an ARIA from this... Something's wrong.
I did see him on a plane once, and he said he was in business class and his musicians were in economy. Now,
did you?
I'm sure he said that.
Oh, he quite possibly, because he flies a lot.
He gets a lot of points. I think he had a lot of points, he said.
Yeah, yeah, but wow. That's very, well, it's not even Bruce Springsteen of him.
Yeah,
sit up front.
Sit up front, Geordie.
You know, a story I love, because he does. He organises his own tours, you know, and pays a band. But I love the fact that he took a band. He'll be cross with me for saying it, but oh well.
He may not hear this. If he's not happy with your career as a comedian, he's not going to be listening to this podcast.
He took the band. This was on his last album tour. They were in Adelaide and, you know, like, got a budget. So they stayed at my sister-in-law's place and the guitarist and the drummer slept in bunk beds.
Fantastic.
Kids bunk beds.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Geordie was in a hotel, so that's amazing.
Yeah.
He was in the Hyatt.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Denise.
It's been a pleasure, Dave,
and
always.
Let's hear some Geordie Lane. Ah, here he comes. And people can find you on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, of course. Of course they can.
Way across it. Thanks, Denise.
Thanks, Dave.